Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Department of International Incidents here at Car Talk Plaza.
I mean, usually we try to avoid talking about politics. I mean, who are we? We're a couple of dumb mechanics. We don't even know anything about cars. And who would care what we think about national or international issues, right?
I second that.
But I'm afraid that we have to cross the line today because, I mean, we don't do this lightly. Whenever we make a kind of comment that is in the least bit political, we get all kinds of hate mail. We don't like hate mail.
You ain't kidding.
But you can't just stand by and watch something happen without saying your piece sometimes.
No, I agree.
Especially when it's something of great import. And that's the case here. So this week, we are coming out publicly in support of the Portuguese.
Oh, okay.
Yes. The Portuguese Association of Friends of the Siesta. This is important news. I mean, you know the little things you read in the paper sometimes? This is an AP alert. Beep, 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 beep. The Portuguese Association of Friends of the Siesta is promoting naps as a defense against the pace of modern life. In Portugal, they're facing the issue of the pace of modern life.
Really?
What's with us?
Right.
If it's too fast-paced in Portugal, what are we doing here? We're a bunch of ADHD people. We're all hyperactive nutcases.
Hyperactive, hyperventilated.
Hyperventilated, and that's what's causing all our problems. We are strongly in favor of the siesta.
Oh, yeah.
Take a break in the middle of the day, no matter where you are. You're driving on the interstate, take a nap. That's my advice.
No, we're all working too hard to buy stuff that we don't need.
Exactly.
To keep the economy going so our 401k don't collapse.
What is a 401k?
Something that we don't have anymore because it collapsed.
See? If you had been napping.
It's a 301k now. Oh, yeah, if you had been napping, you wouldn't be worried about that.
Well, we keep coming back to this issue. Remember we were going to have a national slack-off day? Lighten up.
Yeah.
Everyone is doing everything multitasking all the time. Everyone's trying to do too much. Lighten up.
Yeah.
When your boss says, be here at 7 o'clock in the morning, say, rave on. That's it. He fires you. You can't believe how beautiful it is to be unemployed. I won't go to that. We don't have time for me to discuss unemployment.
Well, anyway.
You know, you get $400 a week on unemployment now.
I think you get more.
More than four?
Well, I think you could.
What are we doing here?
Anyway, if you have a question, don't worry. We won't be here long. If you have a question about your car or your siesta or anything else like unemployment benefits, don't hesitate to give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, Goombaz. This
yeah.
is Mike Cirino from Sacramento.
Hey, Goomba. From where?
Sacramento, California, but formerly from Brooklyn.
Yeah, we knew that.
How
yeah.
did you tell?
I wrote Sacramento, New York.
did they make a movie? I saw a movie where they put a guy from Brooklyn in the witness protection plan, and they made him a vintner. Out in California. Was that you?
I'm not going to tell.
He can't tell. Wasn't Steve Martin in that movie?
What's up, Mike?
I got a 1980 Chevy Suburban.
Mm.
It was shifting. It seemed to be shifting sort of late, like it wind up real tight. You know?
Yeah.
High RPM. So I brought it in to the transmission shop.
Good.
And the first thing the guy did, he said, okay, cut the engine, open the hood.
He adjusted the kickdown cable.
No, he reaches in for the fan, and he starts to move the fan by hand. He says, oh, I think this is a problem. We take it for a ride, and he says, oh, it's marginally late as far as it's shifting, but your problem is that your fan clutch is seized up.
Oh, so it's turning all the time.
Turning all the time, making a lot of noise.
So what you're hearing is, what you think is the thing winding out is excessive noise from the fan clutch.
Exactly. I was stunned.
And he figured that out just like that, huh?
Hey, not only that.
Wow.
He sends me on my way and didn't charge me anything. He could have taken me for $300.
What's this guy's name? I'm going to send it in right away. What is he, nuts?
I'm telling you, I felt like Socrates with the lamp looking for the honest transmission, and I found him. Yeah, so he says to me on my way. My problem is I went to my mechanic, Tony. I called up. His wife answers the phone. She usually answers half the problems on the phone. Dell. And Dell tells me, I said, hey, do I really need to change the fan clutch? I don't care if it makes noise. It just is going to turn fast. It's going to keep the engine cool. That's great. She says, no. It'll put a strain on the water pump.
No.
So I want to know, do I really have to bother to change the fan?
No, back in the old days, in fact, if you had bought the 1970 version of this thing, they didn't have a fan clutch. Uh-huh. You just had a fan.
And the fan was turning all the time, just like yours is turning all the time.
You had a fan stuck on the front of the water pump. So every revolution that the water pump made, the fan made a revolution.
Uh-huh.
And it turned all the time, and they put the fan clutch on to save a little gasoline.
Uh-huh.
They wanted to get you up from like 8.6 miles to gallon, per gallon to like 8.65.
That's right. I get about 9.
About 9. Yeah, that's good.
So it makes a difference. I should bother to do it. And this is something simple.
No, it does not make a difference. I don't understand why Tony's wife is concerned about this.
No, it doesn't make a difference. It's not going to put a strain on the water pump. It's not going to put a strain on anything except maybe your wallet. But you're already getting it. I mean, how much worse can it get? 9 miles a gallon.
Yeah.
You haven't noticed a precipitous drop in the mileage. How would you?
No. Isn't this something simple I could do at home?
Yes.
So maybe...
Drive the truck into the living room. No, the fan... There are four little bolts that hold the fan clutch onto the water pump, and then there are bolts that hold it onto the fan.
Right.
So you're going to extract the fan and the fan clutch as a unit and separate them and put the new fan clutch on and bolt it back up to the water pump.
Okay.
Or forget about it.
Don't mind the noise.
But we can tell that you're looking for something to do.
It sounds like a hurricane when it's winding up tight before a ship.
Well, wait, you just said, I don't mind the noise.
Yeah, in town.
But you lied.
It's driving him nuts.
You lied, didn't you?
On the freeway, it bugs me. So what I do is I only drive into town.
Well, that's too bad because you get better mileage on the freeway.
You're not developing a twitch or anything, are you?
No. I have to turn up the radio louder.
This is a great vehicle, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a real workhorse.
Oh, yeah. That's
so what
great.
Do you do out there in Sacramento?
I work for the government, a state government. I give away the taxpayers' money to medical schools and schools of nursing.
Oh, aren't you nice?
So they could teach nurse practitioners, physician assistants, and family practice residents.
Very good. So do you get an opportunity to skim a little off the top?
No.
How about off the bottom?
That's in Brooklyn.
Middle?
Come out to California, we straighten out.
All right.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, thanks for calling, and good luck with your fan clutch.
Thanks, guys.
See you later.
Bye-bye. 1-888.
What do you mean, can you skim any off the top? That's not a valid question. I mean, first of all, would he give you the answer?
maybe by mistake he would.
If it was Boston, he'd say, of course, doesn't everybody? It's pretty sad.
It is indeed. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
This is Peggy. How are you guys?
Pretty good, Peggy. How are you?
Well, I was fine until I got on this phone. Listen, I got to make this fast.
Yeah, us
about
too.
About 400 years ago, I was driving through the Arizona desert, and I heard you two maniacs terrorizing your listeners.
You did.
I heard you talking about how to keep a car body paint job looking as new as when it left the showroom. Well, lo and behold, I've got a brand new Honda Accord, and it is snowflake white with a nighttime shine. And you said you put some kerosene into water, and that's how you wash it. So I did it.
You didn't hear that.
Wait a minute,
us.
Peggy. You never heard us say that. I never heard such a ridiculous idea in my life.
Come on. I heard you guys say that. You said it was your grandmother's recipe.
We don't even have a grandmother. We were raised by wolves.
Kerosene and water?
Yeah.
I think it was Murphy's oil soap.
No, it wasn't. It was kerosene and water.
Wait a minute.
What I want to know is what is the recipe?
Where are you from?
I was from Arizona then, but now I live in Yonkers.
Yonkers.
Yonkers. What do you do now to keep your car looking great? Sell it?
I spit and polish a lot.
Well, I have to say, I mean, if this mystery treatment works, I can't, certainly cannot take credit for it because I never heard of such a thing in my life.
But I heard it on your program.
You did,
well,
huh?
You may have heard it, but not from us. Yeah. You may have heard it from one of our harebrained callers.
Yeah, oh, that may be. It may be that one of our callers suggested it, but I certainly, I know my brother would never have said anything that stupid. On second thought.
So you have used this, what would
well,
we call
I couldn't get through to you guys to get the recipe, so I just did it. This might blow you away. I did it anyway. I just went glug, glug, glug in the water, and I must say the car looks absolutely gorgeous. So I'm in the elevator. I'm smelling of kerosene. My hands are filthy. In the elevator is a lady in a fur coat. And she says, my goodness, what have you been doing? Because I don't look like I belong to this building, right? And I said, well, I heard these two crazy guys on a car talk show years ago say that the way to wash a car is to put kerosene in water, and it will keep the paint job as new as when it left the showroom floor. And she says to me, you won't believe this, but my family owned 13 car dealerships in the New York area, and my grandmother has always said this.
Did you ask her what the formula was?
No, she didn't know it either. And I said, well, don't worry, because I've got to call into these guys, and they know everything.
Okay, so let me get this right. You take a 2 or 3 gallon bucket, you fill it up with water, and how many glugs of kerosene do you put? Glug, 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 glug?
Four, but I don't know how many you're supposed to.
Four glugs works for you. I'm going to try it myself.
Yeah.
but to finish it off, what if I put my pet cricket on the hood, and it rubs its legs together, will the car self-ignite?
Yes, it probably will.
It will.
And I don't think it'll be much of a loss.
And,
I mean, how long have you had the cricket?
I don't think it will self-ignite.
No, it probably will not self-ignite. But I am certainly going to try this on a small portion of my 63 Dodge Dart convertible.
That paint job is already oxidized.
Oh, that's already
out.
Well, maybe it'll bring it back.
I doubt it.
It has the original paint.
Yes, we noticed. Oh. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Peggy, thanks for calling, and I will definitely try it. And if someone knows the actual formula, perhaps he or she can give us
enlighten
us. Give us a call and let us know what
thanks
it is.
Thanks for your call, Peggy.
Okay, well, listen, thank you guys, and let me know.
Okay.
Don't worry. Stay tuned. We'll have an answer for you within a few weeks.
So far, it's 3 gallons of water and 4 glugs.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks,
okay.
Peggy.
How big is a glug?
Goodbye.
Bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Scott from Clown Falls, Oregon.
Hi, Scott.
How you doing?
What's going on, man?
Oh, man, I got a 1986 Nissan pickup with 172,000 miles on it that won't turn over.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, when I turn the key, all the lights come on, the dash, dome, radio, everything works, but the engine doesn't make a sound. It doesn't even make a click as far as I can hear, and it acts like the neutral safety switch is bad. That I hotwired that 100,000 miles ago. So that ain't it.
And
are you 100% sure the battery is okay?
Yeah, I had my friend Fat Tony come over and check the battery.
Fat Tony?
Fat Tony. He brought over his big bucket of tools.
Yeah.
And he had a battery tester. We tested that, and we cleaned the connections. And actually, he leaned in with a crescent wrench and arced between the two poles, and he said, hey, it ain't the battery.
That's a good way to burn off your eyebrows, by the way.
That's a great test.
Yeah.
Don't ever stand near Fat Tony.
He might be Fat Fried Tony.
No, I mean, seriously, you can blow up the battery doing that.
Well, I don't think he meant to do it.
Oh.
It was an accident.
Oh, it was an accident. Yeah, well, that's
yeah.
But if
and,
you try to start this thing by, for example, rolling it down a hill, will it start if you
yes,
do that?
Yes, I could do that. I got it started by compression starting.
Okay, that's good. The engine's not seized.
It could be that you need a starter motor, and it's that simple.
Well, that's what Fat Tony keeps saying.
Well, what kind of tools does Fat Tony have? Does he have an ammeter?
He comes in with a hammer, a crescent wrench, and something I've seen in a logging museum.
And ads.
Well, what you could do is you could jump the starter motor. If you look at the starter motor, there are two wires on the starter, basically. Some starters have more than two, but yours are going to have two. There's a big fat one, which comes from the battery, and then there's a skinny one that is connected to what's called the solenoid, and that comes from the key. And you could find out if that wire, if you had something called a test light, which you can buy at Sears for like $4.99.
All right.
You could unplug that wire from the starter, stick the probe into the end of that wire, not on the starter motor, but into the end of that wire, and then ground the other end at the negative terminal of the battery.
Okay.
Have Fat Tony turn the key
to the
start position, and that light, if it lights up, is telling you that your solenoid is getting energized and your starter motor is no good.
All right.
It means electricity is getting to the starter, but the starter is, as we say in the trade, schwavoted.
Well, there is the possibility that one of several other things has happened. The wire that runs from the battery to the starter is making a bad connection, and you can check also that with your test light.
All right.
Or you might not have a ground connection. So you might just take a jumper cable, you know, what you'd use to jumpstart the thing, hook it to the engine block, and hook the other end to the negative terminal of the battery and see if that starts it.
Okay.
And one of those tests is going to tell you what's wrong. And my guess is it's the starter.
My guess is it's the starter also.
And the other problem is I can't keep Fat Tony away from my truck. He keeps showing up with his big bucket of tools.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
He's in love with the truck.
Well,
no, I'm telling you, I know what Fat Tony wants to do. He wants to pull the engine out.
That's exactly what he wants to do.
Yeah.
Don't call Fat Tony anymore.
Take him to Domino's Pizza and leave him there. Good luck, Scott.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
See you later.
Okay, Tommy, do you remember last week's puzzler?
Do I remember last week's
puzzler? You
I mean,
do this
do
every
I remember
week.
Last
you do
week's
this
puzzler.
Every week. No, nothing, huh?
Not
blank,
a bit.
Complete zilch, right?
Absolutely nothing.
Well, it's about someone named Billy Bob Beaumont and a little gas problem that he's having, and we'll have the entire story in just a minute.
I'm looking forward to it.
When I make it, I want to make it show. When I show up, want everyone to know. Be a mover, moving slow. When I'm going down the boulevard, don't want to be trying too hard. I got me a Lincoln, a big town car.
And even though skeet shooters everywhere yell pull and toss their radios into the air when they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Support for the Car Talk podcast and the following message come from Valvoline Motor Oil. Did you know higher mileage engines need different motor oil? Well, Valvoline does because they test oil every day in their state-of-the-art engine lab in Ashland, Kentucky. Valvoline's high mileage motor oils with MaxLife technology are specifically formulated for high mileage engines and have thick anti-wear film to help protect metal surfaces and extend engine life. Visit valvoline.com/cartalk to find out what product is right for your engine.
1965, a darkened street corner in Selma, Alabama, and a murder. A new podcast exposes the lies that kept this murder from being solved.
And explores memory, myth, and accountability for a crime at the heart of the civil rights movement. From NPR, White Lies. Listen and subscribe now.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here, of course, to talk about cars, car repair, and first and foremost, the answer to last week's puzzle.
But first, the question.
There you go. This little beauty came to us, I don't know, email, snail mail, I forget, from someone named William Morrison from Midland, Michigan, and here it is.
Yeah, I can hardly wait. I remember when you said this last week, you mentioned his name because I thought of my classmate Bill Morrison, who has done all the artwork
for
the website.
I like that. I can hardly wait. Such enthusiasm, such excitement.
I can hardly wait. Because
how long do you think you could hardly wait? I mean, if it were like 5 minutes, could you hardly wait 5 minutes? How about a week? Could you hardly wait a week?
I have waited a week.
Every morning on his way to work, Billy Bob Beaumont stops at the corner gas station and spends 25 cents for gas.
That puzzler! That was good.
Well, it remains to be seen. On his way home from work, he stops at the same gas station and again spends 25 cents for gas. He continues this pattern for months. The amount he spends never varies, nor does the twice-a-day schedule.
Yeah, man.
Oh, this thing is rife with hints,
it
right?
It is. I mean, always in retrospect, you say, aha!
Aha!
That's what that meant.
Finally, the attendant who has observed Billy Bob's routine says, you know, if you spent about 10 bucks on a repair, you wouldn't have to stop here so often, or maybe even at all. The question is, what simple repair does the attendant have in mind? And the excellent hint is that it has nothing to do with the fuel system.
Oh,
now there are lots of potential answers to this.
There are.
Well, I suppose so. I mean, you could say, well, you know, he was buying gasoline and his thing was running so badly that he had to adjust the carburetor or anything. But there was only one elegant answer.
Oh, and it is elegant.
That the gas he's buying is not gasoline, but he is buying gas, which is air for his tires, or a tire that has a leak.
And that's why it's always 25
cents. 25
cents
in the machine. The thing goes ding, ding, ding. He fills up his tire. Off he goes. Of course, he buys his gasoline someplace else.
Does it say ding-a-ling?
Ding-a-ling. And then, of course, the tire is flat after his day at work. He starts at the same filling station again.
Yeah.
Inserts another quarter, 25 cents worth of gas. So some may go boo, woo, hiss, hiss, etc. But
as we all did when you told us the answer.
Yeah.
But in retrospect, I have to say it's brilliant.
Well, if you think that one was bad, what did you hear this week's?
Because a puzzler, this should be a puzzler. It should be puzzling.
Indeed. All right, who's our winner this week?
Our winner is Elise DeSmet. Oh, come on. Who are all these people with names that I can't pronounce?
Here's what you do from now on. Her name is Alice Smith. Try it.
Alice DeSmet. Alice DeSmet, when she spells it A-L-L-I-S-E for Alice,
yeah,
which is, that's okay.
It's perfectly acceptable.
That's what she wants to do? Fine. And DeSmet, she spells D-E. S-M-E-T. She's from Amherst, New Hampshire. And for having her correct answer chosen from among the thousands of correct answers that we got this week, Elise or Alice will get a $25 gift certificate to the Car Talk Shameless Commerce Division, where she can get all kinds of wonderful Car Talk stuff, T-shirts, CDs, up to $25, and preferably more than $25, the remainder of which you'll have to pay for yourself. And then we'll make big, big profits.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And with those big profits, we will hire more and more people, and we will build an empire.
And we'll buy bigger and bigger boats.
Yippee!
Anyway, we'll have another new puzzler coming up in the third half of today's show. One from the series of the Matchstick Puzzlers.
The Matchstick Puzzler series. Yeah.
In the meantime, if you have a question about your car or anything else, give us a call.
I don't think we should take any more calls because don't forget the Portuguese Association for the Siesta.
Is it now?
We might want to just take a little break and snooze off.
I'm with you, man.
Some people might say that's what we're doing anyway.
888-227-8255, which also spells 888-BAS-VUL. Lawyer on Car Talk.
I knew that. Hello.
Hi, this is Gillian from Cambridge.
Gillian with a J?
Gillian with a G.
Oh, Gillian from yes. Cambridge, England?
Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Our fair city.
Our very fair city.
Central Square.
Central Square is where it's at.
That's right.
It is. I was in the Middle East restaurant the other day having supper, and wow, what a place, huh?
Yeah, what were you having?
I had everything on the menu. I couldn't decide, so I ordered one of everything.
Really?
It was awesome.
With all this traveling that you do about the city, do you miss your wife's cooking?
Every chance I get. So, Gillian, what's up?
Well, I actually need some help with my work.
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay, I'm trying to translate a phrase from French, and I was only able to get a definition in French, but it refers to part of a heavy truck.
Uh-huh.
Part of a heavy truck.
Yes.
Yeah, I won't even ask you what kind of work you do.
Grand camion.
Yeah.
Well, the document had to do with retreading heavy truck tires.
Yeah, okay. I'm fluent in all languages, including Serbo-Croatian. So, go ahead.
Okay, well, the French term is train avant.
So you have to spell. I don't speak French.
It's train, like train, T-R-A-I-N.
Yeah.
And avant is A-V-A-N-T.
Right. Yeah. Avant.
Avant.
Yeah, oui.
It's two words or one?
Two words.
Two words, yeah.
And according to the Petit Larousse French Dictionary, it means the group of elements which on modern vehicles replaces the front axle.
Ah, okay.
So, what I need to know is, what would that be?
Oh, train avant. Oui. Oh, mademoiselle.
It is simple. Or simple.
The train avant is clearly it's the steering mechanism. It's the axle. It's right. It's the front.
The front.
The front end.
The front end.
It's the front end. Yes.
Yeah. We would call it what would be the English expression. The front end.
And that is known as the front end. It's all the pieces that are responsible for the front suspension and the steering of the car. The springs, the shocks, the ball joints, the tie rod ends, et cetera, et cetera. Is that it?
That's it. That's amazing. You mean that's it? After that whole complicated definition, it's the front end.
The front end, which is exactly what it literally translates as, right?
Well, no. What does train? What does?
Right.
Well, I'm not sure.
Are you fluent in French?
Obviously not.
Oh. Oh, so you're doing this word by word.
Well, no.
No,
actually,
she's fluent. Of course she's fluent.
With the exception of arcane technical terms, yes.
Yeah. I mean, can you give us the sentence just so we'll make sure that it really makes sense?
The sentence?
What's the rest of the sentence, the context in which this expression?
Well, this is some conditions.
But you're working for, like, the CIA. I mean, you don't have to tell us what you're doing.
You know who used to do work like this?
What? I'm sorry?
3 Days of the Condor. Did you see that movie?
Yes.
No.
Rent that. It's a great movie.
Mike, what's his name? Robert Redford. Did exactly...
How could you sit there and look at me and forget the name Robert Redford?
Bela Lugosi came to mind right away. No, he did the same. He worked for a little company in which he would translate arcane documents about things that were completely irrelevant to anything, like cars and trucks.
And what they were looking for was spy information, inside information that was being sent through ordinary literature, through non-diplomatic channels, and so the spies were communicating with their mother country, etc.
Yeah.
Via ordinary publications like things about front ends of heavy trucks. And he goes out for bagels one day, and he comes back, and the whole place has been eradicated. Everyone's dead except for him.
Yeah.
So now you got to go out and rent it. It is a great movie. Robert Redford, Faye Dunaway, Cliff Robertson. Who directed that?
I think it was Frank Capra. He's the only one I know.
Well, you should hear the sentence because you'll understand it.
We're dying to hear it.
The retreading of each new tread depends heavily on the professionalism initiated by the reseller, that'd be the shop, in service of the using customer, in the diagnosis of mechanical defects susceptible to damaging the tire, the alignment of the front end, etc. And I figured you'd sympathize with the professionalism of the
reseller. It's the alignment of the train avant?
Yes.
Oh, that's perfect. It's absolutely perfect, Gillian. It fits perfectly, the alignment of the front end.
And now I know 3 words in French. Thanks for your call. I hope we helped.
Thanks.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is John Setliff in Seattle.
Hi, John.
Yeah.
Seattle.
Mm. I have an 81 Honda Civic wagon.
81 Civic?
It runs perfectly, but I got myself into a predicament, and I'd like to know how to get out of it next time it happens.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I left my apartment. I was on my way. I was kind of in a hurry. Went down to the car, unlocked it, got in, started the engine.
I know you did.
And decided that the windshield's too dirty, and I grabbed the squeegee.
Yeah.
I slammed the door, and at that moment, I realized I'd locked myself out of the car.
Mm.
And I was locked out of my apartment with the engine running.
Yeah.
And I decided to kill the engine while trying to get a key from the landlord or somebody. So the question is, what would be the best way to stop the engine if you're locked out of the car? And I can tell you how I did it if you want.
Well, I know how I would do it because you couldn't open the hood.
You did not open the hood before you got out. You had no
reason
to do that.
Right.
You'd plug up the tailpipe. That's what I would do, assuming that you had a muffler in the car still.
Is that safe? It won't blow anything out?
All right. The way that you asked that indicates to me that you did something really wacko.
I know what you did.
It was rather wacko.
Let me see. Let me see if I can guess what you did.
You were going to get the hose? Is that what you said?
No, I was going to get the squeegee wet at the water faucet.
At the water
which
faucet.
Had no hose attached.
It had no hose attached. And you, what you did...
So you get out of the car.
Didn't involve water.
Didn't involve water.
Well, maybe it
did. Did it involve lying down?
It did.
You nut.
You got underneath the car. You reached up and you yanked off the coil wire.
No. That's no, close.
I don't think you could do that.
Spark plug wires.
Yes. And I had to take all four of them off before the engine would stop.
Yeah, oh, yeah. How many shocks did you get?
Three or so.
How many times did you bang your forehead on the front bumper?
Oh, that too.
Just on the first, just on the first one, right?
Boy. If my heart had stopped, it could have been restarted like that.
No, I knew you had done something crazy like that. When my brother said I would plug up the tailpipe, I could see in your brain saying, why the hell didn't I think of that? Yeah, because if you plug up the tailpipe, then the engine can no longer breathe because there's no air that can come in because there's no stuff coming out, and it'll stop almost immediately.
Oh, okay. I didn't even think of that.
Well, remember the old potato up the tailpipe trick?
Right.
Yeah. So that's the basis of it.
Yeah, that's where I was into the Latin teacher in high school.
Yeah, I mean you did was effective. But, wow,
that's stupid.
No, I mean, the fact that you thought of it and figured out how to, and managed to do it, in fact, was commendable,
right. The thing that stupefies me is that after you got the first shock, you went back to get another and another.
And weren't you surprised that that thing ran on one cylinder?
Actually, after the second one, it becomes kind of a pleasure.
Oh, yeah, you get to enjoy it.
I'm going
to
go back for more shock. Yeah, so next time it happens, you just don't put your hand over the tailpipe because that stuff coming out is hot. But if you had a rag or a jacket that you had just wrecked by lying down under the car, you could stuff that against the tailpipe. And assuming, of course, that the exhaust system doesn't have a bunch of holes in it, that will stall the engine.
Right. If you have one major leak in the exhaust system, then that technique
that
won't
work.
And you've got to resort.
It won't build up pressure in the exhaust system and blow something out?
Oh, no. No. I mean, that system can take it.
Because it will stall before it has a chance to do that.
Oh, okay.
Now, the first thing you should do is go out and buy yourself one of those hide-a-key things.
Right.
I would have, I mean, if the tailpipe thing didn't work, I suppose I would have done the same thing. I would have gone for the coil wire.
See,
that
I don't...
That would have given you just one jolt, and that would have killed everything.
Okay.
The next time, go for the coil wire.
Okay.
Good luck, John. Thanks for
calling. Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks for your call.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
My name is Christine, and I'm calling from Raleigh, North Carolina.
What's up?
Okay, here's the story. My husband and I bought a Dodge Caravan that had like 140,000 miles on it about 9 or 10 months ago.
Do you have kids?
Yeah. We were just starting our family, you know, so we thought it'd be a wise decision.
Sure.
So, you know, we've had the transmission rebuilt. It's died several times and had to have work on it. Well, now the air conditioning is doing something kind of weird. It blows out just like you've got the vent on, even though it's got the air conditioning on. So there's plenty of air blowing out, but it's not cold. So I thought, you know, no-brainer, it needs Freon.
Mm.
But the other day, my husband was driving. I was in the back seat with the baby, and I noticed that, you know how there's like a separate air in the back sometimes, and you have...
That was cold.
Exactly.
Good. That's excellent.
Oh, good.
Yeah, that's good luck.
You are in Fat City.
Now, you might think that there are two air conditioning systems, one for the front and one for the back.
Hmm.
But there is one compressor.
Okay.
And if the back is getting ice cold, then the compressor is working. It's just that the controls in the front are somehow messed up so that you're not getting the conditioned air.
Right. The cold air is not getting into the passenger compartment in the front.
Mm.
But there is cold air, which means there is enough Freon. And the compressor is working.
Oh, that's great. So it's more like an interface problem.
Right. So you need to put that seat all the way back.
So you can drive from the middle row.
You know, and lean it, hang your head back. Well, if you're lucky, this is a vacuum problem.
Mm.
Because those controls are operated by vacuum.
Okay.
And so one of the... Yeah, he thinks so, too. And one of those doors is not opening or closing. And so you're
there are doors underneath the dashboard there.
Oh, okay.
And they open and close depending on what you got set for. And the way it's set now, the hot air is coming in, but the cold air isn't.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense. And if you're lucky, they won't discover when you take it in that you need the transmission rebuilt again.
Really? Oh, you guys are great. You've made my day.
Good luck.
Thanks a lot.
See you, Christine.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, look, we're at that point of the show again. You know that point?
Is this where the NPR higher-ups parade two real mechanics by our studio and glare at us threateningly? Is that it?
No, no. This is where we take a break to prepare for the new puzzler.
Ah, it's good. We'll be back in just a minute.
Big old caddy got so pristine. Almost thought it was Christine. Not to try, they were looking so good.
And even though tow truck drivers complain that we're soiling the industry's image whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
This message comes from Car Talk and NPR sponsor Ridge Wallet. Looking for a Father's Day gift? The Ridge is the wallet reimagined. Its innovative design uses premium materials like titanium and carbon fiber and has over 30,000 five-star reviews. The Ridge Wallet comes with a lifetime warranty if you love it and free returns if you don't. Find the perfect gift at ridge.com/NPR and get 10% off with code NPR.
In the Trump era, the news moves faster than ever, and the NPR Politics Podcast is here to keep you informed. Every time there's a major political story, we get our best correspondents together to sort through the noise. The NPR Politics Podcast, what you need to know right when it happens.
We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and as promised, the second in the series of matchstick puzzles.
Oh, yeah. So where is the puzzler presentation squad? Da, 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 da. Okay, yeah.
Oh, here it is.
Yeah, this is part
get
of
out,
the set.
Get out your matchsticks.
Get out your matchsticks.
Okay.
Yeah.
And make with your matchsticks the following Roman numeral.
Yeah.
7, which is V-I-I.
V-I-I.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then an equal sign. Two equals. More matchsticks.
Equals.
Equals I, one matchstick. So the equation reads 7 equals 1.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, as was the case with the other puzzler like this, you must move one matchstick and make this
an equation.
Right, a valid equation, and you cannot make the equal sign again an unequal sign. So you can't say 6, for example, does not equal 1.
Uh-huh.
Now there are
nor can you touch the equal sign. The equal. All you can touch are the matchsticks making up the number 7, VII, and the matchstick making up the 1, the I.
Is exactly.
Yeah.
Now I'll admit there are two possible solutions. One, our producer Doug Berman came up with a few weeks ago, and that one we all considered bogus. And then there is the creative one.
Yeah.
Which is the one that we'll accept.
Okay.
Because the creative one, you're going to admit, is pretty good.
I can't remember the answer. Oh man, huh? Yeah.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
That is good.
That's pretty good. So I just said it's right if my brother, he forgot it from last week. Anyway, if you think you know the answer, how to make 7 equal to 1,
yeah,
write that on the back of a $20 bill and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our Fair City.
MAC 02238. Or you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com. If you'd like to call us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys. This is Valerie from Rescue, California.
From Rescue? Like Rescue Me?
Like Rescue Me, please.
Where's Rescue?
We are at the base of the Sierra foothills, about an hour away from Tahoe.
Oh, I've been there.
Oh, and what is the strange reason for the name of this place?
You know, I don't really know.
You don't know?
Are there lots of, you know, like, you know, skulls and crossbones? And...
Yeah. What's so dangerous?
The whole place is there. It's a desert.
You know, I heard that there was a story that some guy was in a situation, either in a fire or he was drowning or something, and then there was a big team that came and rescued him, and that's why they named it Rescue. But don't quote me on that.
So were you born and raised in Rescue?
No. I've only been here a couple of years.
Oh, okay. So You're excused. Anyway, what's going on, Valerie?
Well, thanks for calling.
Yes, see ya. About 6 months ago, I was really ticked off at my husband.
Ah.
And I got into our 1995 Ford F-250 and raced down this country road that we live on and got a bed full of hay because we have some horses. And then I raced back and hit a pothole, and the truck just stopped. I mean, the transmission just stopped. The engine was still going, but the whole transmission just froze up.
What do you mean it said it froze? Did it just like you slam the brakes on?
No, it just started making this whirring noise.
Yeah, yeah. Remember back now to the first leg of the trip.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, by the way, have you patched things up with him?
Oh, yeah.
This didn't help.
No. We're fine. He had to come. We have another Ford F-250, but it's an older one, and he had to come down the road, unload the hay out of the broken truck. And
he was just thrilled to do that.
But how did he know you were down there unable to move?
Well, I had my cell phone with me.
Ah,
so you called him on your cell phone. You said, "Hun."
Not exactly.
And he said, "Who's this?"
I said, "Get your butt down here."
And he said, "I'll be right there." 4 hours later, he showed up. So you offloaded the hay onto his truck.
Right.
And then you towed this one yourselves.
Well, we called a tow truck.
And they towed it to your ranch.
To our property, yes.
Well, here's my best guess.
Okay.
How mad were you?
Were you mad at him? Or both?
I was mad at him.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, it may be completely...
Wait, what did he do?
You know, I don't remember.
I'm trying to learn something here.
Oh, I'm hopeless.
He and I were talking about it last night. I said, "What was I mad at you for?" He says, "I don't know." I said, "I don't know either." So,
well, you know, that's a great kind of argument to have, because when you can't remember, it means you can't hold a grudge.
That's right.
That's good. Anyway.
Where were we?
here's my guess.
Okay.
I think you ruptured one of the transmission cooler lines.
Okay.
There are metal lines that run from the transmission up to the radiator, and there's a coil inside the radiator that allows that hot transmission fluid to get cooled off by the not-quite-so-hot coolant or antifreeze.
Oh,
you probably broke one of these lines. Don't forget, the thing is 1,000 years old. It could have just fallen off. It could have bouncing down the road like you were doing on this.
You did hit a pothole.
You probably hit more than a few potholes. You're probably cursing. God knows what you're doing.
Good.
And you act like you know me.
And maybe you were going a little faster than you should have, and you may have hit something, and just the bouncing may have sheared one of those lines. And while you were driving, you were losing transmission fluid. Until finally you got to the point where you lost enough of it that all that you could get out of the transmission instead of locomotion was a whir.
Right, okay.
So now you may have lunched the transmission, because transmissions don't like to run with very low fluid, and they definitely don't like to run with no fluid.
Right.
Fill it up with transmission fluid. You know, it may take you 5 quarts or so to get some read on how big the leak is.
Okay.
Start the thing up, and you'll see where the leak is. When you see that, shut it off immediately and repair the leak. And you can fix it either by buying a new cooler line from the dealer, or you can just make a line out of rubber hose, at least enough to get you to the repair shop.
Okay.
At that point, fill the thing up with the correct amount of fluid and drive it. If the transmission won't shift, then not only do you need transmission cooler lines, but you need a transmission.
Yeah.
So no one's looked underneath. I mean, it could be that you put a big honking hole in the transmission with that boulder that you didn't tell us about.
My brother-in-law did look underneath it.
Oh, he did?
He said that it looked okay. And he said it could be something that fell off or something loose or something. So maybe it's what you guys said.
Well, it could be. I mean, there's a possibility that somehow or another the thing shifted into neutral. You know, the linkage came disconnected, and the only whirring you're getting is what you'd get if you were in neutral and revving
the engine. Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Check the fluid.
Okay.
If there's fluid in there, then, you know, it could be that the linkage fell off, and that'd be easy to fix.
Okay.
You know, and bouncing up and down through potholes and hitting boulders, that can do that too.
Yeah.
Just try to keep your emotions in check from now on, Valerie.
I am trying, guys.
All right.
I really am.
Next time, take a pill or something. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye. 888.
She's an interesting person because
she is.
She can get mad as hell. We know that. But she can laugh at the same time almost.
Yeah, almost. 6 months later. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi. My name is Howard. I'm calling from Randolph, Ma. And
how
I
you
have
doing?
A question that's automotive and aeronautical and has a folkloric form.
Yeah, oh. Excellent. I love it already.
All right, we're ready, Howard.
How do you keep a mattress on the roof of your car from flying?
Yeah, well, I don't know how many people know it, but a lot of people have learned that putting your arm up there to hold the mattress is not going to work. I mean, how many times have you seen guys start out with one guy driving?
I mean,
another,
no rope.
No rope. Just an arm.
Yeah.
Thinking that they can hold onto that mattress. Au contraire.
Well, even the ones that are tied up, you know, where you run the, we've always done is we've run the ropes with the doors open across the mattress and then tied it up as best we could.
Yeah.
And then you close the doors when you get in the car, which is preferable to tying them up with the doors closed and having to climb in the windows. But most people don't know what that mattress is doing when they're going down the highway at 70 miles an hour. The front of that thing is
flipped 90
up
degrees.
Like the front of Dwayne Doberman's, you know, hat. And it doesn't take much for that thing to flip right off.
Yeah. Not only that, it's probably giving enough lift to the front of the car that you could lose control.
Well, exactly. I mean, you know, you get the speed up to what do they call that? Stall speed?
Lift speed.
Lift speed, and you can take those wheels right off the ground.
I wouldn't be surprised.
But I take it you've had personal experience with mattressing?
I have a car top carrier that I built. It sits about 3 inches off the roof, you know, on suction cups and a
yes.
metal bracket. And I've tried, you know, putting that on the car and then roping the mattress to that.
Yeah.
But I still get lift, and what I figured out finally, what I need to do is get negative lift.
Yeah.
Negative lift.
How are you going to do that?
Well, there's got to be a way of shaping it, right?
Well,
Bernoulli's principle and all that.
If you had, someone should be making, if they don't already. Of course they don't. But I can visualize a device which you place over the front of the mattress.
Ooh,
after.
I got it.
And you have tied it to the roof.
A mattress spoiler.
A mattress spoiler, exactly.
Yes, I figured that out, but what shape should it be?
What are we, aeronautical engineers? Oh, you said this was an aeronautical question.
Yeah.
You got to call aeronautical talk.
No, I think you need to make, you know what?
Did you take 201? You took 2001.
I took 201. I took 202. I took 201 again. You need... You know what a spoiler looks like on the, you know, you see them on the back of sports cars and race cars. What if you were to take one of these
things?
You ready for this? And mount it to a piece of plywood.
Of course.
Okay. And then that piece of plywood, you...
See, I was thinking more of it, something that would clamp onto the mattress. If you could take that spoiler off the back of the car and put two big clamps on it, boom, so that it clamps onto the mattress and the front of the mattress, then all that air that you're making at 60 miles an hour is going to just go straight through the spoiler, up and over the mattress.
Do you move a lot of mattresses, Howard? I mean,
I have this one mattress I'm moving up to Hungadunga.
Oh, yeah. See, that's the problem.
And I'm going over the interstate.
Yeah. I think you have to start fashioning the spoiler.
Well, I'll tell you what. If I make it up successfully with a spoiler, I'll send you guys a picture.
Yeah. You remind me of a very funny story. You know what I'm thinking, don't you?
I do.
This friend of ours, he had an old car. It was one of those 80s big GM cars. And he worked late at night. One night, he's driving by a construction site. And it's late. It's 2 o'clock in the morning, and he sees a bunch of 4x8 sheets of plywood. It so happens that his brother-in-law is doing a little construction job.
He needs 20 sheets.
He could use a dozen or so sheets of 4x8 plywood. So this guy...
Half-inch sheet, the exterior grade. They just happen to fit the bill.
He says, who's going to miss them? So he stops his car, and under cover of darkness... He piles up half a dozen of these sheets of plywood on his roof, except he has nothing to tie them with. So he says, if I drive really slowly, where are they going to go? So he piles up, I don't know, half a dozen sheets of 4x8 plywood, quarter inch, half inch stuff. And he's not too far from his friend's house. He's going to drive to his friend's house, his brother-in-law, it turned out to be, and he's going to pile them up in the guy's yard. So he very carefully starts up and drives very, very slowly.
At this time, he has about 18 sheets, if I remember the story. 18 sheets on the roof.
18 sheets is a foot and a half of plywood. He says, oh, boy. Well, Pep is going to love me.
18 sheets is 9 inches. It was just enough that he could reach up with his hand, thinking that holding these sheets is going to prevent them from going anywhere.
Anyway, he's doing really well. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. There's no traffic, except for that one car that cuts him off almost. He slams on the brake. All 18 sheets of plywood come forward and rip off the entire front of his car. The hood, the grill,
the headlights,
the whole thing. And he's sitting there at the intersection with 18 sheets of plywood on the street.
And $1,000 worth of damage.
$1,000 worth of damage. And you know what his first words were. Oh, man. It doesn't get any better.
So, Howard, tie it down carefully, but work on the spoiler. I think you may have an idea.
Okay. Thank you.
Good luck.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
I mean, the visual imagery is so good.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they said they came down like one sheet at a time. He said it was surreal. It was like slow motion. And as he saw the headlights and the grill getting sheared off, he just couldn't believe it. Oh, boy. Well, it's happened again. You diddled away another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug, the subway fugitive, not a slave to fashion, bongo boy, frog man, pumpkin lips, cute Berman. Our associate producers are David, the calves of Belleville Green, and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug, the old gray mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Tippecanoe, Rabbit Stew, Tiramisu, Mountain Dew, Charleston Chew, and Roast Beef Au Jus, Howdy Do, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marjan Overa. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our parts inventory manager is Wayne DeBack. Our sidewalk clothing vendor is Chip Pence.
Wayne DeBack.
Our tolerance quality control guy is Nat Sass. Our ornithologist in training is Luke A. Boyd. Luke A. Boyd.
Luke A. Boyd.
Our ornithologist in training is Luke A. Boyd. Our official spokesperson is Howie Vasev. Our big band leader is One and a Two. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. And our staff tailor is you, Jess. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is you, Louis Dewey, known to the ascot-wearing alums in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And remember, above all, and don't forget,
yeah,
don't drive like my brother.
You got it.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1921, subscribe to our weekly podcast, and check out our family alienating clothing and best of collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, we're here to help you clean up your driveway. Got an old car that's seen better days? Well, the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program will tow it away for free and send the proceeds to the NPR station of your choice. Do it now before your local neighborhood watch group labels your car an eyesore and plants geraniums in it. Turn your car into the programs you love. Find out how at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though all the armies in Game of Thrones unite to storm NPR headquarters whenever we say it, this is NPR.